der Tender Spirits Podcast. Wir vertreiben ausgewählte Flaschen für Restaurants, Bars und Highballer. Und hier geht es um die Menschen und Orte hinter diesen Flaschen. Wo kommen sie her? Und ziemlich wichtig, wer macht sie warum auf? Herzlich willkommen zurück zur dritten Episode des Tender Spirits Podcast. Wir sind immer noch gedanklich und in der Nachbearbeitung in England und besuchen die Happel Gin Distille. Mit Walter Riddle habe ich im ersten Teil unserer vier Interviews mit den Happel Five, einer fehlte leider, gesprochen. Und heute treffen wir uns mit Chris Garden. Chris Garden kam eigentlich als letzter zu den Happel Five. Es war ein großer Zufall, denn Valentine, Walter, Nick und Capri hatten bereits angefangen. Die Distille war gebaut, man wollte loslegen, der famose Prozess war definiert. Man brauchte nur noch einen guten Distiller. Und der geschätzte Valentine war in London auf einer Party bei Sipsmith Gin, dem legendären Gin. Eigentlich dem ersten Craft Gin, der wieder in England hergestellt wurde. Klassisch auf kleiner Brennblase. Und man kannte sich gut und man hat sich so bei 1 bis 14 Gin Tonics leicht verhaftet. Und dann sagte Valentine irgendwann zu den Inhabern, sag mal, wo ist eigentlich euer Distiller, Chris? Und dann haben die gesagt, oh, hör uns auf, ey, super Typ, aber irgendwie kriegt er jetzt das zweite Kind. Und er ist mit seiner Frau jetzt, sie wollte zurück zu ihren Eltern und die wohnen irgendwo bei Newcastle in Nordengland. Und da ist er jetzt hin und will Bier brauen. Und Valentine natürlich völlig außer sich, hat sein Handy nachts aus der Tasche gerissen und den armen Chris nachts in Newcastle oder in der Nähe von Newcastle angerufen, denn die Happel Distille oder die jetzige Happel Distille ist nahezu fast bei Newcastle. Und er hat gesagt, was machst du? Du musst sofort bei uns arbeiten. Und so ist es dann auch gekommen. Und Chris ist jetzt, nachdem er sozusagen jahrelang Qualität und Prozess bei Sipsmith erfunden, gesichert und was ich was alles hat, ist er jetzt, das steht er jetzt von Anfang an Happel Gin und noch ein paar andere Sachen, Douglas Fir und ein paar coole Sachen und ist sozusagen Meister des Prozesses. Hat ihn nicht erfunden, diesen schrägen Prozess, wie Aromen extrahiert werden, aber perfektioniert ihn jeden Tag. Ein ganz toller Typ. Ein angenehmer Nerd. Finde ich ganz toll. Also viel Spaß mit dem Destillateur, mit dem Brennmeister, mit Chris Garden von Happel Gin. So, cheers.
Cheers.
Sitting here with Chris Garden and the magic. I don't know how many square meters, it's quite small. It's two rooms.
It's two rooms.
How many square meters is it here at the Happel Distillery? Only the distillery.
50? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe 50?
Yeah.
We are surrounded by some mystical geeky stuff, which you will explain me in a second.
Absolutely.
So we are super proud to bring over your lovely and delicious juice for Tender Spirits to Germany. I'm a big fan of it. First of all, I mean, the taste killed me. I liked it because I thought this is what gin should be in a very elegant way. Juniper, juniper, juniper.
Absolutely.
And then in the beginning, I only know one person behind all of you. I learned it's five. The Happel Five, I call them.
Yes.
And I know Nick, but then I get in touch with the others. And then I learned, especially yesterday, that you are the mastermind behind the daily work of doing it.
Absolutely. The piecing together of the puzzle, as it were, and making sure we have a consistent quality gin, out there, and working with Val and Nick, you know, to create this amazing gin has been a brilliant, fun journey. Mm-hmm. Nick and Val are, the way that they combine flavors is just a pleasure to work with, and then to be able to make the gin is brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
No, I agree, and I thought yesterday how crazy it is, and this is why I like to have a little sit down with you and explain it, because I think it's you explained it yesterday quite well, so I also understand it, but I mean, I would love to understand how Happel is done, why you have chosen to go this path the way you do it, very unusual.
Absolutely. We wanted to take, gin for us is all about juniper, and we wanted to put juniper back at the heart of gin. And to do that, we sort of wanted to capture more of the flavor spectrum of juniper. And to do that, we've got three pieces of equipment. We start with a copper pot still that we make a one-shot gin on. And that's really the sort of the base. That's where we start. And then we layer flavors from our vacuum still and our supercritical extraction column onto that. So the vacuum still allows us to distill at a lower temperature. By distilling at 150 millibars, we reduce the boiling point of alcohol. We go from 78 degrees, which is what we're distilling on the copper pot still, to 40 degrees. So we capture lighter, fresher flavors that would be destroyed on the copper pot still. And we actually distill six botanicals individually on the vacuum still, five of which we harvest from Heppel. So right on our doorstep, we harvest them fresh, distill them fresh, and we capture that light, fresh notes. It really adds a sort of zing to the gin, and it gives us that freshness that we want to put back into, you know, we want to make the gin all about juniper, but we want to give it a sort of freshness. We want to make it perfect for a martini, brilliant in a basil smash. We want to add that freshness back to the gin. The six botanicals we distill, we've got Douglas fir, bog myrtle, lovage, blackcurrant leaf, Amalfi lemon peel, and the green juniper. And
it's really Amalfi lemon peel is not coming from.
It doesn't sadly grow in the wilds of Northumberland. A few more crazy summers, we might be able to plant a few lemon trees. Currently, and I'm not allowed to go to the Amalfi Coast yet either to harvest them. But
you're not allowed.
I'm not allowed. Okay. We need to sell a bit more gin first before I can go on some trips. But the green juniper really is the star of what we put through the vacuum still. It's in the gin in the biggest quantity. And it really, it gives us that little bit of the flavor spectrum of the juniper that you don't get from the ripe juniper. Mm-hmm. You get the sort of fresh green apples, cedarwood, sandalwood flavors that you don't get from ripe juniper. And it really is, through the vacuum still, it gives us this stunning freshness to the gin. And then on the supercritical, we apply high pressure. So we're talking about 3,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. We apply that to ground up ripe juniper, a little bit of heat as well. So at 40 degrees and 3,000 PSI, we create this supercritical fluid. So it's not a liquid, it's not a gas, it's a liquid and a gas. So it can permeate space like a gas, but extract flavor like a liquid. And it really squeezes the soul out of the juniper. We get this beautiful golden oil, and it's like the root, the needles, the berries, it's the full spectrum of flavor. And it really gives a depth to the gin. And it's when you combine the pot still, the vacuum still, and the supercritical extraction, you just get this gin that sings. You know, it really, the flavor lasts, it doesn't disappear, it's full of juniper, it's full of sort of tropical notes. It's just a delicious gin. Mm-hmm. I hope people agree.
I agree.
Yeah.
So the three steps you decided to kind of create, and I always, for me, I told Walter as well, for me it's like stealing in a good way from this like culinarical kitchen foodie nerdy world to bring in like vacuum and supercritical extraction to just get the whole spectrum of what's possible with juniper.
Absolutely, that full spectrum. And you know, gins nowadays have departed, I feel, from juniper. And the only way we could really make a gin that's juniper focused is to kind of innovate and create a new way of putting more flavor into the gin. And by having the supercritical extraction and the vacuum still, we're getting that fuller spectrum of juniper,
Totally agree.
which is what we set out to do. And it makes us relevant in the gin market by having more juniper in the bottle.
Yeah. So for all these, like, in a quick summary, first is copper still.
Copper pot
still. Distilled me. This is a London dry gin, he explained it.
Absolutely.
Then you do the vacuum.
Vacuum distillation.
Distillation, yeah. Which makes it a distilled gin still.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then you add some super intense juniper oil.
Exactly.
It's very strange how you make it. And then finally it's just a gin. So you go back in quality to make gin. The most quality juniper. Not back. You
don't get Yeah.
Quality is always high.
No, absolutely.
You go back in legislation.
It takes us five times longer to make than your average pot still gin. We've got the pot still, the vacuum still, the supercritical, the harvesting of the botanicals and the sorting of the botanicals.
Yeah.
You know.
So could you, for all the gin lovers and geeks and freaks, explain a little bit this single step. So what's happening in the other room we show later, the copper still, What type of copper still do you use?
It's a Müller copper pot still, 340 liters. A stunning piece of engineering, beautiful.
German.
German, absolutely. The best stills are Karl, Holstein, Müller, absolutely. Yeah. We've got a lot of copper surface area, and we're just trying to get as much copper contact between the spirit and the copper as possible to smooth it, to get rid of the fatty acids and the sulfates.
So you buy the grain alcohol?
We buy...
What alcohol is it?
It's English wheat, distilled to 96% alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
And it really is a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all it is just alcohol. We don't want any flavor from that base spirit. We want to add all the flavor from the botanicals. And that's the starting point. We distill that through the copper pot still to give us what we call the base gin, a London dry gin that we then add. It's very much the sort of the skeleton, and the meat and the flesh comes from the vacuum still and the supercritical extraction.
What botanicals you use in this first distillation process?
Absolutely. So we've got Macedonian juniper, a bit stronger, a bit punchier, Italian juniper, lovely sweetness to it. We've got English coriander, we've got licorice root, angelica root, orris root, very classical sort of gin botanicals. We've got blackcurrant leaf, blackcurrant, not so traditional, but they add a nice sort of citrusy, blackcurranty note. And you know, we kind of left holes in the recipe so that we could add more juniper from the other pieces of equipment.
Nice. So then it's done, but you told me you do a one shot.
We do one shot. Absolutely. So we're not making a gin concentrate. Every bit of alcohol has been through the still. We're not blending with neutral alcohol afterwards. You know, the heart cut that we take, we then dilute with the water directly, and that's the base. We're not back blending with neutral spirit. You know, we do it in that one shot manner to get the best gin possible.
And then you take the liquor, so then that's the ABV of, I don't know.
So it comes off the still at about 88%.
Yeah.
We then blend it with our spring water to 45%.
Yeah, and then you bring it on. And then you have this London dry gin, the base. And then you on the separate way, you do this with a vacuum still, you do six different
distillates. And then we've got a recipe that we know
to blend it.
So we know how many liters we get from the base. We know how many liters of the lemon, the blackcurrant, the lovage to drop into it. And it took us about, you know, pretty much a year to get that recipe so that
What did you do with all the rest of it? I mean,
it's behind us.
Okay. You did it in small amounts.
Small amounts. It was a fun year, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted a well-balanced gin. So yes, we talk a lot about juniper, but there's so much more flavor to it. And it's got that lovely dry finish. We wanted that we wanted lots of juniper, but we didn't just want to be slapped in the face with juniper. We wanted it to be well-balanced. And you do get a lovely dry finish on the gin.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And then on a separate machine, you have the supercritical extraction where you put lots of pressure.
Lots of pressure.
How much? You told me it's like 800 grams.
So we've got 800 grams giving us about 20 mils of extract. And it's the closest, you know, it's very much used in the perfume industry, this machine. And it gives you the closest representation to juniper. So it literally is like having actual juniper in the gin. Mm-hmm. You squeeze the berry, you smell it. And then you smell the oil, it's exactly the same. It's called the absolute. And you know, flavor archive houses use it. You know, if every juniper bush in the world dies, this machine gives you the closest representation to what juniper used to be.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it gives you flavors that you just can't get from distillation.
Cool. So this is Happelgen. You came up with something kind of new. I'm not sure if it's like, but we also have a few bottles at Tenderspirits you send us, Douglas Fir.
The Douglas Fir, absolutely.
So we also have the same idea, like now you created this different steps of extracting flavor, and now you bring in also, or you focus on other flavors like the Douglas Fir. So that's the kind of, you call it flavored vodka?
We legally have to call it a flavored vodka, but it's anything but a vodka. A vodka traditionally odorless, flavorless, you know, it's a neutral spirit. This is full of flavor. And when we were using the vacuum still to do the Douglas Fir, we were all the time we're tasting everything. Mm-hmm. And we were just blown away by the Douglas fir that came off the vacuum still. You know, in the middle of Northumberland, we've got this amazing tropical flavored notes coming through the through the needles. It's not just pine, but it's melon, it's grapefruit, it's incredible. And we just felt that it was too good not to develop as a drink. So we put the needles through the copper pot, exactly the same sort of technique. Get the base and then build flavors on top of it. So we've got the pot-stilled Douglas fir needles, we've got the vacuum-stilled Douglas fir needles, and the supercritically extracted Douglas fir needles as well. And we played around with the quantities, the how much base, how much vacuum, how much CO2. And I think we've got this drink that is, it's full of flavors that you wouldn't expect from Douglas fir, and it's a wonderful drink for bartenders to play around with. It gives people, you can make twists on a classic drinks with it, and it just, it's something fun to play with, mm-hmm. but delicious at the same time.
Cool. So that's the idea of maybe Herpold Distillery to fail. Let's see what we can on one side have here.
Absolutely.
And if we use our system, what can we make?
But with the access to nature that we've got on our doorstep and the equipment that we've got in the distillery, the flavor possibilities are kind of endless. And we love to experiment and play around, and Nick just creates wonderful drinks with the spirits that we make. So it's just fun. You know, it's to create different flavors, and Val goes out and picks something and we distill it, and it's like, oh, that didn't work, or yes, that works. It's just brilliant fun.
Nice. So can I ask you, why you become a distiller? I'm allowed to ask?
Yeah, of course you are. I did an engineering course, so chemical engineering. Oil and gas extraction. Just not as much fun as whiskey and beer.
Want to do some money?
To begin with, yeah, absolutely. Money and travel. That's all I wanted to do. And then I did the course and I thought, oh God, this is not going to work for me. So I thought, what's close to chemical engineering? And I did, I found a brewing and distilling course up at Heriot Watt. And I learned how to make beer and whiskey. Mm-hmm. And, very simple chemical engineering, separation of alcohol and water, very easy, but very fun. And, I must have done the course about 13 years ago. A company called Sipsmith came along, mm-hmm. and I worked for them for 4 weeks as an intern, and I didn't leave for 5 years, and really saw the birth of the new gin movement, making gin how it should be made at Sipsmith, a very traditional London dry gin. Left Sipsmith, still a massive fan of the guys, good friends. And I thought, I'll never make a gin in the north. And then I met Walter, and he showed me the land.
The story was you were moving from London to
exactly.
Newcastle.
I moved to Newcastle. We had one child, and my wife said to me, we'll have a second child. I was very much told. Yeah. And when we have...
Do you have three now?
I have three now, yeah. And it's a great number. It's the magic number. Yeah. The triple technique, the three kids. Yeah. And London just wasn't where we wanted to bring up children, So we moved back to where my wife's from, Newcastle. And I thought, there'll never be a small batch distillery in Newcastle.
And then by circumstance, Val heard that you...
Val was at a party at Sipsmith. He was like, where's Chris? And they said, oh, he's left. He's moved to Newcastle. Val was like, just hold my drink a second. I've just got to make a phone. Literally 11:30, he phoned me. Val, what? When you get a call from Val, you're like, you better pick it up. No matter if you've been asleep for 2 hours. Well, hi. You got to meet Walter. You got to see what we're doing. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And I came out to
Herpold. So they started to build this without having a distiller.
They had the concept. Yeah. So they'd done some vacuum distillations on a little lab still. Cabri knew about supercritical extraction. Exactly. He's a biochemist, absolutely. And I came out here, and it is the most beautiful place with the botanical Eden, and then combined with the equipment and the concept of putting juniper back at the heart of gin, but pioneering a new way of extracting more flavor, sort of making a modern classic gin. I was like, yeah, okay, we've made a timeless classical gin in London with Sipsmith. Let's advance that. Let's get more juniper into the gin. let's have a bit of fun, you know. And then obviously with Nick making the drinks and Val foraging the botanicals, it's the dream team, you know.
I have a question, because I think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can correct me, but I think like distiller has become a little bit more popular nowadays.
So there's maybe
more people now into it because it sounds so, wow, we do a gin, we do whatever. But it's always interesting when I visit like small places like Heppel. Technically, it's about in the beginning to be like very self-controlled because the idea is to do each day the same.
Yes.
It's a like more like a classic production.
Absolutely.
You always have to make sure about, I mean, you need your consistency, you need your experience, you need to taste the raw material, you need to, but technically it's more like, because sometimes I feel a bit, there's a comparison to bartending when it became famous. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, yeah, I want to do cocktails. But the business of bars is about making the same drinks each night.
Absolutely.
Be consistent, having a menu. It's not about super creative every night. There's exceptions.
Yes.
And I think it's the same, isn't it? You grew up with it. You expected it like this.
Absolutely. You know, we've got the gin. It took us a long time to develop the gin. Now it's about making sure that we harvest the needles at the right time. We harvest the green juniper at the right time. And it's about making sure that every bottle of Heppel is as good and as consistent as the first bottle. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the day job, as it were. And then the fun side is developing drinks like the Douglas Fir, the Sloe and the Hawthorn. We've got other drinks in the pipeline, but everything rests, you know, this is the bedrock, you know. Yep. that's not the holy grail, but that is what it's all about, is the gin. And that's what I love. I absolutely love gin. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else is fun, and it's all about taking drinks, extending them to the next level by using the triple technique to get more flavor out of the ingredients. But you're absolutely right, making the gin consistent is the number one priority.
And then, I mean, now I like the idea of what's Heppel standing for is like bringing flavor from ingredients they grow here with a special technique in the bottle.
Absolutely.
And now you kind of, you have this Douglas Fir. I know some rumors about some other projects, but I think it's the same idea.
It's the same idea. It's absolutely
very interesting things from here. Very unusual. I really like what you guys do.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, cool.
It's fun, you know, and hopefully people enjoy the gin. And it is, it's a new way. It's a modern classic, which is it's just very important to us that we take a classic drink like the gin. We put more flavor into it. And it gives bartenders more options to create better drinks with it as well.
Yeah, I agree. Very cool. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Try to catch Val.
Yes. Cheers.
Hopefully not another drink. Not lunchtime. Not even. It's 11.
It's 11. It's a perfect time for a gin.
Have a martini. Okay.
It's a tough job.
Cheers.
Cheers.